is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Seinfeld Delivered because it's always upbeat and a good time.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like Seinfeld Delivered because it's always upbeat and always a good time.
I'm Dan. Seinfeld Delivered is better than most everything on the Hallmark Network because, and I guess I despise it because it's always upbeat and always a good time. This
is the Deck the Hallmark Podcast.
Yeah.
If anyone should handle this week's episode of
Not Us
of Seinfeld Delivered, it is definitely the three of us.
Nah, man, go listen to Deliver Me a Pie. Let's just take, yes. Why are we, what are we doing?
Let's take the week off.
Sheesh. Guys, we get the postable name. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
We don't need to.
The troops in Afghanistan, 9/11, bring it. This?
Oh, man.
I mean, sheesh. Tough.
Fun Rock Refuse with Tristan Trish.
Hi, I'm Teach. You messed my name up, soundtrack guy.
I'm Tooch.
You Tooch always gets it right.
Who we got today?
Oh, we got Bill Fuddrucker from Lansing, Michigan. Bill, you on the line?
Oh, yeah. Hey, guys.
Bill, what's fun in your ruck?
Oh, let me tell you, I hate it when people eat a cupcake upside down. That's just a recipe for disaster. I shouldn't get no over their pants.
Do people do that where you're from, Bill?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing it right now, and I don't like it.
All right. Good. All right. So we're talking Signs of Deliver. We're talking Dark of Night.
Dark of Night, indeed. Holy cow.
So what's a rule that you would put in hockey that's not there, Panda?
Oh.
Well, how could you improve the game?
Man, I don't know. I'm not sure you could. I think what would be fun is that there are no, like in overtime, they shorten the length of the overtime, like the 2-3 minutes, but they can't do an entire line change. The guys have to be out there the entire time, and you have to go out with your main squad. That would be fun to watch.
Main squad.
I got one. Hear me out. If any two people get in a fight, they have to stop and they have to do a Mighty Ducks trivia contest to see who goes in the penalty box.
Yeah.
And they call that segment Duck Dynasty.
Did that just come to you?
Yeah.
That's great.
Just while he was really doing that good. Dumb overtime thing.
I think mine.
You're actually trying to fix hockey, which is wonderful.
You don't need to. You can't fix what's not broken.
Duck Dynasty. I mean,
Duck Dynasty.
Mm. Yeah.
Guys, a couple of things really quickly. Go leave us a review on the Apple Podcast. Apparently, it helps.
Yeah. Well, we've been taking it on the chin lately.
Not that bad.
I mean, fix it for us though would be great. Hey, all you postables out there that love that we're doing this, we got this really kind letter.
Was it? Oh yeah.
Yeah. Where is that thing?
I don't know, but we got some patches. Man,
that was super cool.
Which I got to figure out. We got
a letter from Mary Beth Rudzinski and all the other postables. She wrote us a very kind, long, handwritten, thought out letter. We read it before we recorded. Mm-hmm. It is wonderful, super sweet. And this episode is when they named the postables. Yeah. So we got these awesome patches as well. Yep. And so since you've done all this, Mary Beth, like just go over to the Apple Podcast and just throw that 5-star up there. You know, this is fantastic. The few, the proud, really the good. Postables. I love it. Gonna put it on my Letterman jacket.
You have a Letterman jacket?
I don't.
But you will have one. You will get one now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm trying to think of a good place for those.
Letterman jacket. All right, guys, are you ready to dive into Signed, Sealed, Delivered?
As ready as I'm going to be.
Yep.
And you know what? Before we do, people said this is the episode. There are a lot of people like, this is the best episode of the TV show.
Yep.
And I was not prepared for the subject.
I was not either.
Can I be honest with you?
Caught me off guard.
And they've dealt with some darker material. So we're going to do the best we can with what we got.
This Absolutely. Is like one of the, I feel like this, I got to give like the trigger warning, like they do on like NPR and stuff when you're getting ready to talk about serious things. Like,
this episode's dark. Yes. If you have kiddos in the car, maybe fast forward.
Yeah, maybe
this
not.
One.
Yeah.
This one, pretty dark.
Yeah. We got the Fuddrucker stuff out of the way. So
that's right.
for the kids.
No more Fud and Interrupt.
The kids love.
They love the Fuddruckers Review. Yeah,
they really do.
Science to Deliver, Dark of Night, originally aired on June 8th. Hold on, guys. Don't turn it off yet. Kids, don't turn it off yet. Dark of Night, originally aired on June 8th, 2014. And it went
2014, the dark of night's a great time to dig into some ribs. Smoke them, fry them, slather them up good and nice. Ribbies here all night. Rib, 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 rib. Rib, rib, rib. Ribs. Ribs. 2014. Rib, rib, rib. 2014. I've been working on that song. What do you think?
I love it, Rib.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm trying,
I love you, Brian.
Thank you. I'm trying a new thing where I just kind of, you know.
You've had some problems with Ribby.
I do have just
if
some.
Ribby, don't get it wrong again, or we'll have a problem too, Panda.
In Panda's
you
defense.
You call me Ribby. That's offensive.
Ribby, in Panda's defense.
In your defense, you've been better of late. You, in Panda's defense, nada. There ain't nothing in that column. You don't call me Ribby.
You're a fella named Rippy
who likes ribbies
that eats nothing but ribs.
What's so hard to understand about that, Flapjack?
He's got you there. He's got both of us, yeah.
Thank you, Panda. Thank you for coming back to my defense.
I'm just out here shooting my shot, eating ribs.
What shot are you shooting? What are you trying to accomplish?
That bone of ribs, you know what I'm saying?
How many ribs do you eat a day?
It depends on the day.
Like yesterday.
For instance, yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, yesterday was all you can eat ribs at Sally's.
At Sally's?
Yeah. So I had a day of it.
But don't you have your own rib place?
No. I just eat the ribs.
I don't know.
I don't. Hey, I know it's serious. I'm going to try to get out of the way today. You just float me a nap. I'll be out of the way.
Here you go, buddy.
You got a nap for me? Hey!
2 weeks
that's too small. That nap does not cut it. That's a fake nap. You threw me a half nap is what you threw
it's
me.
It's not a half nap.
That's a half
that's a
nap.
Full-size nap. That
float
somebody,
me a nap.
I don't have any
you
more.
No. You have naps. So you're prepared. Don't act like you're not prepared.
So the wet naps that people have mailed
in. Wet nap, Boy Scout. Be prepared.
The wet naps that people have mailed in are not big enough for you.
That's a fake one.
That's a fake one.
Fake nap.
What do you mean it's a fake one?
It's a fake nap. You're driven a bit.
Having looked,
I take ribs seriously.
Having looked at it, I think it could be a fake nap.
You're tough.
The guy that called
Panda,
me Ribby.
Panda! Come on.
Could be a fake nap.
2014.
I don't want a little something like this.
You're a wet nap Boy Scout.
I saw Wet Nap Boy Scout live.
Live. Oh, my goodness.
Phenomenal.
So great. Now, kids, go ahead and turn it off.
Yeah.
So there's a woman in the hospital bed. Her face is all beat up and cut up. And she's frantically writing a letter. And a nurse is like, we don't have much time. And another work nurse runs in with an envelope. And it's like, I found one. The girl says, you need to send this for Michael. The beeps start beeping. They rush her into another room, and she ends up flatlining. The other nurse then takes the envelope, puts the envelope inside a copy of the Bible.
The Holy Bible.
On a library cart. A guy comes up when she's not looking and grabs the Bible. Uh-oh. Oliver, now we're with their crew. Oliver shows up at the cafe to find Shane. There's a weird package sent directly to the DLO. Inside, an old Bible and the envelope. The envelope has been scribbled on a bunch, and the address is covered up. They open it, and it says that it's not what it looks like. She is to tell them the truth before she lets them operate. Cut to the hotel. Flashback. A guy named Michael is having a business meeting. And he notices his wife is there with his best friend, who's also her ex-boyfriend, I suppose. He gets mad. He leaves. Cut to them in the hospital emergency room. His wife is on the hospital bed. She asks how Abby is. He explains that she needs blood, but his blood doesn't match. He gets real mad, storms out. She then explains in the letter that he's not the father of Abby and that she's sorry that she never told him. But it's also not the other guy, the best friend. They were just planning a surprise party for Michael. Oliver stops reading because that's enough. He doesn't need any more. He can call up the hotel and ask about a canceled party in 2004. But Shane convinces him to keep reading. They need to make sure that they tell Michael the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Cut back to the story. It's the night before they got married, and she goes out with her friends, and she goes to the bathroom. A guy follows her, threatens to kill her if she fought him, and you can fill in the rest of those details about what happens after that. But she ends up getting pregnant, and she decides not to tell anybody about what happened, and the guy ends up getting arrested for a different assault case. So while Michael may not be the father, he has been Abby's dad for her entire life. They do some digging, and they figure out that Michael is who Michael is, and they mail it off. Some days have passed, and the gang can't get over this letter, can't get over the story. So obviously, Shane goes to Snoop, and turns out Michael has not read the letter yet. He gets it, and he goes to read the letter in the cemetery at the gravesite of his late wife. She follows him, watches him read the letter. He cries, and he says, "I'm going to kill him." So she runs back to the DLO, tells the group what she learned. And so they're like, "What are we going to do now?" And she's like, don't look if you don't want to, but I'm going to hack his computer and watch everything that he does to make sure that he's not getting ready to kill the person. But he finds out that the guy is up for appeal. So I think he might be planning to kill the guy. They take this info to their boss because clearly they are above their pay grade here. This is Shane's friend, who's now their boss. And they basically get a new, they're going to create a new task force called the Postables, which basically just lets them do whatever they want to do the things they need to do. So basically what they were, what Shane was doing, but just like approved. So they run to the appeals case. Michael is there. He's snuck in a gun. And they tell him right before... basically, they're about to make this case. They tell him that they know that he wants to do, that he has a gun. They have another plan. So after court, Michael goes to meet the guy in jail, tells him that he has a daughter who needs blood. And at first, he's not all that interested in kind of hearing.
You need a kidney?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, a kidney, sorry.
Yeah.
Because they didn't get, right.
And blood.
Basically he's just like, whatever, this is just somebody that's needing closure again, whatever. But then Michael really starts to make the appeal, and there's something that Michael says, basically like how many guys get to actually do something good. And the guy basically ends up saving her life. So mission accomplished, and the post office throws a big party to honor the Postables. And they end up giving all of them the highest honor given to the U.S. Postal Service worker, just like Oliver's dad was given the Dark of Night Award. Mm. And that, my friends, was signed, sealed, delivered, the Dark of Night.
We did it.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on Deck the Hallmark. Hello, everybody.
How's it going?
Great. We're talking Signed, Sealed, Delivered, Season 1, Episode 8, Dark of Night.
That's right.
It means we only have two more 42-minute boys and then movies all the time.
That's right.
Let's break this episode down. Let's start with the hot take. Panda, give us that take. Make it hot. Stat.
On the double.
All right. After last week's episode, which was not awesome, this week was, I mean, goodness, just really, really good. Heavy. The issue involved complex. I think they handle it with a degree of don't know, sensitivity that I thought was really well done. I am impressed that they would tackle the subject matter. I'm impressed that they would tackle it with, the way they did. And I think for the most part, they did a really good job of not pulling their punch on any part of it. I think they do a good job with this. It's heavy. I mean, it's a heavy episode. It's a hard to watch episode. And I think I've just grown to really appreciate Science Hill delivered that much more. The characters are still great. I love Norman. I love Rhea. I love, I just love Shane. I love Oliver. They're becoming just, man, I feel more and more just almost like a friendship with them. I know that sounds goofy, but I genuinely love their characters. And each episode just kind of grows with that. And even when they don't stick the landing like last week, like, it's still a fun episode of television. Like, it's still enjoyable overall. And so this was not fun to watch per se, but it's just, Science Hill delivers a great show. And so I don't know. I don't know how hot or scolding that is, but I mean, it's hard to critique an episode like this because it's really well done. And I think they handle it really well.
I just can't imagine a world where Bill Abbott actually read this script and approved it.
No,
I don't know how this made it to screen on Hallmark Channel in 2014. It is wild to me that this made it to air. It's a great episode. I'll say, like, personally, like, I don't know, give me like a lighter case. Like, I appreciate what they're doing here, but like, I don't know. I think it's like the same type of thing. Like, it's just like not the thing that I want. I want these guys to be doing goofy things and like silly cases, kind of like somewhere in between this and Grayson Holt building a cabin, like somewhere in the middle there, I think is a sweet spot for the show. But obviously, very well done. Kudos to them for tackling this. And you know, we got some serious forward progress. I appreciate that they're basically like, Shane's doing too much. No, he's hacking into computers. We actually have to do something.
Yeah.
So thank you for clearing that up and finally making that wait what no longer a problem, because now they can do whatever they want to and spare no expense of the USPS funding.
That's right.
So yeah, obviously great episode. Great episode.
I think the reason why I'm okay with this being as heavy as this is one season of television. Like, they have one shot to.
Yeah, I think that this, you know, we talked to Eric Mabius and he was like, the thing about Martha Williamson is just she has this ability to write about subject matters that would normally be easily taken as just either maudlin or preachy or not handled well. And she handles them with a lot of aplomb. And this has become the norm. I mean, what they do in this episode is individually probably darker than anything we've done. However, I mean, let's be very clear. They've done a 9/11 episode.
Yep.
Right.
They've done an episode about, you know, bombs, you know, IEDs going off in Afghanistan. You know, they've done an episode where a dad, you know, gets in a fight with his son. And his son dies. So, like, it's not like they're wading into, I would say, necessarily deeper water. Darker water, yeah. Tougher to talk about, sure, but from a standpoint of how they handle it, I think they handle it fine. I think that this does a couple of things really well. It is hard to talk about, I think, in what we do on this show.
Yes.
But, you know, a couple of things that I really appreciated about the episode. I if I'm ranking the season of 8 episodes, it's probably not in the top 3. It's probably 4th, I think. I don't know. It may be 3rd. It's probably 4th. But I mean, the idea that life is sacred and fighting for the sacredness of life is really cool in this. And then, like, really without saying it, you know, portraying how important it is that victims of sexual assault should come forward and speak out, mm-hmm. and you know, point to their accusers and how we've not created a great environment for that to happen. And it's much easier to say nothing. Like, they kind of quietly do that really well in this episode. And so, yeah, those aren't great deck the Hallmark topics. But they're handled with aplomb here. And Kimberly Sustad, is a really good performance. I thought after we get that bombshell though, the episode kind of doesn't want to put too much mystery in there because you're dealing with that bombshell. And so they kind of pull their punch on everything else. And then I also felt like for him to finally get this award, for them to tack it on the end of this episode was, in my opinion, not great. Like, it wasn't a great time. He talks about this thing earlier and how much he reveres this award and what his dad did. And like, this is a big moment for Oliver. And literally on the Hallmark Movies Now app, which is a terrible app, the screen is already fading out as it's counting down to the next episode. Like, you don't even get really his full, like, it just didn't really land. And that moment would land, I feel like, in another episode. And yeah. So that was disappointing to me. I felt like that the bombshell of the subject matter overtook the fact that there was not as much of a mystery at play. But yeah, appreciate the aplomb in which they handled a very difficult subject matter. So God bless them.
I mean, if you consider also, I mean, this is like way pre Me Too movement. Like,
yes,
I mean, it's shocking how well that they would even talk about this subject.
Correct.
Matter. I mean, it's an impressive episode within its context.
To be fair, and I want to be clear on this, they did that instead of having some substance for the Postables to do, and I'm fine with that. I would rather them get that right than have the Postables go on a really cool adventure.
Right.
Yep. If you're going to have that as subject matter, I'd rather you get it right.
Yep.
But it, from a standpoint of reviewing the episode, it doesn't leave the Postables with a lot to do aside from be as solemn as they possibly can.
Yeah, exactly.
Jessica in the chat, I don't know if this is true. I don't have no reason to doubt her, though. She says, this was supposed to be the first letter story of the season, and Hallmark wouldn't let them do it.
Pushed no kidding.
It yeah,
I wouldn't have let them do it either first smart season.
Idea.
You kidding me?
Let's do all the feels. Should we talk about what gave us feels? Panda?
I think... the scene where he's actually confronting the prisoner for the very first time, and he pleads with him almost. That's a tough scene for me to watch. That scene, though, feeling that sense of helplessness against a guy you at the same time hate, and the way they handle that scene, man, that was just that was really good for me. I just thought that was really well done. And I think, I don't know the actor who plays the husband, but he, to me, he crushed that role.
His beard looked fake, but I think he was doing a good job in there.
His beard was fake, but his performance was not.
Yeah. That was the scene for me.
Guys, Norman's growing on me a whole lot. When he walks into that party in a suit and sunglasses, worked for me. Thought it was funny. I appreciate his commitment to the bit of a news task force.
Yeah.
Good on him. Made me laugh.
Yeah. I tell you what I appreciate most about this episode is the Martha Williamson clearly is a person of faith who is, in my opinion, trying to make a point about how important and wonderful life is, because what she does is she juxtaposes the baby that wouldn't have been wanted with the guy that committed the unwanting crime. And she shows you how important both of those lives are. Mm. And I literally you get to see a dad talking about a girl who's the product of a rape, and he's crying like it's his own kid and pleading with the guy that committed that crime because his life is needed too. And that to me, look, this is not going to be an episode I'll ever watch again, but to foul pole to foul pole, right? When we talk about life and how we care for it, to foul pole, give us those two depictions and their importance is impressive on any network at any time in the history of TV. To do it on Hallmark in 2014, God bless you. I can't believe you did it. And it probably goes over the head of most people watching and they don't put that together. That would be my guess. Not because people are dumb, but because they are tuned into Signed, Sealed, Delivered and they just got hit with the uppercut of the message of or the topic that they're going to be covering. But I had to think about it a while and I was just like, that's really great. That's really powerful stuff. And so that gave me feels.
There you go. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with the Wait What part of the show here on Deck the Hallmark. Okie dokie. We're back. We're talking about Signed, Sealed, Delivered, episode 8, Dark of Night.
Dark of Night.
The Batman. I'm just going to hang out here in the dark of
You sound more menacing than Pattinson sounded as yep, Batman.
That's true.
Hi, guys. I'm Robert Pattinson.
Somewhere in between those two.
Hi, everybody. I'm Robert Pattinson. I'm the Batman.
Just talk without a British accent, but like Robert Pattinson would talk if he's just trying not to make a fuss.
Hey, guys. It's me. It's Robert.
I don't think we're getting there.
And I'm the Batman. And I'm the Batman. Back off. Don't look at me in the sun.
Let's do a what's Panda.
Just Shane hacking into somebody's computer is just wild to me.
She's crushing it over there.
I mean, come on, guys. right?
Like, you got a tight 10 on this? You seen this, Shane, everybody? You seen this?
Oh, yeah. They're very.
Come on, guys. Am I right? You don't have anything.
The other thing, the thing I would have, not only that with her hacking, but the one thing that I just don't understand here is you typically, whenever you are logged into the same like browser, logged into somebody's password on something, you don't see where their mouse is going.
That's
on
not
other
what they did,
the
though.
Screen.
So what she did was she hacked into his IP and was now viewing his screen. Didn't just hack into his email. Hacked into his direct
his actual,
computer.
So
screen.
Wow.
That's next level.
That's next level hacking.
I think what they're doing here, the reason why she was able to do it is because they were both government officials. And so in theory, they're both under the same server.
Is anyone else though concerned about the kind of the ability, like their freedom now that they have? Like this is,
we've talked about some postal workers, Panda. And I think just listening to some of the ones that we've talked about, you would say maybe not Fort Knox.
And that's true. Yeah, that's true.
But they're very inconsistent about Shane's abilities. She's somewhere in between like me.
That's right.
And James Bond.
That's right. Like, yeah, like Elon Musk or something. Yeah. Like, that's just like doing crazy tech stuff. Like somewhere.
I appreciate, like you said, like they're just like, oh, she can do all this stuff now. FYI.
It was like they got to this point and they're like, okay, well, she's going to hack in.
That's right.
To his computer. So I guess we just need to give them the full Monty. Like, what can we do here? Yeah. I just got to say it is a mistake to put the letter of all the books on the shelf, to put it on the most famous book of all time was a mistake. Could have put it. Could have put it in literally any other book, but you chose the most popular book ever published.
That's right.
So
the most published book of all time. That's right.
But to that point, this what was meant. I have questions about how it happened. So some guy takes the Bible, the letter, and this is how I imagine it happens. Slowly over the course of 18 years, she's an adult now. Yes. Abby's an adult now. At that point, she was 7. So probably, many years.
Yes, over a decade.
Many, 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 many people in the hospital system have taken this Bible and opened it up and found an envelope addressed and not stamped, addressed.
And they never sent it.
And they've just all scribbled on it.
It's my big one.
No, it was that old man took it.
So the old man did all the scribbling?
Old man was the only one who was scribbling on it. They said it was his scribbles. Yeah. That's what I'm pretty
Can
sure
we
they
just
did.
Camp on this old man for a second.
Sure, go ahead.
This old guy pops into someone else's hospital room.
No. She was out in the hallway with the cart.
Goes up to the cart, looks around, and steals the Bible?
They allude to the fact that he is not completely there.
It's a hospital. It's not an intensive care unit.
Right.
There's not randos walking around it of any sort.
Right. I think he had dementia or something like that.
But that guy wouldn't be on the ICU.
If something happened, he would be.
He wouldn't be cogent enough to walk around in his hospital gown.
Maybe not. You don't know anyone's story.
For me, it's like, this bro comes up and he's just like taking this Bible, got him.
But then what happened for years?
Yeah, I don't know what happened either. I don't
see. I thought that it was being scribbled on, like added on. Every time someone takes the Bible, they open it up. Oh, you know, like when you go to a public bathroom.
No, it was the old
and you
man.
All like add a little something,
like a little graffiti to it each time. I think the old man just had and he was just doodling on
Either way, I'm confused about how it possibly took.
And then
that
who sent the Bible along with it? Like somebody was like, I
this
guess
is
we'll
an
send
important part
to the postables. Doesn't make any sense.
And guys, I gotta be honest. I still don't understand what a postable is.
No.
I don't understand the meaning.
Yep, that's fair.
Everyone was like, you're going to get it. You're going to get it.
I don't get it. I don't get it either.
They all were sitting there throwing out names, and Rita says the postables. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means.
Yep.
So somebody could write me a dissertation.
We are no closer to understanding what a postable is.
That'd be wonderful. Than we what were it means? Before we what does it mean? Episode.
That's right. Yeah.
Is it like a postable? Like they call those like little the little yellow things postables.
Post-its.
I've never heard of a postable. Dynamite. Like I've heard of post cereal.
I've heard of Postmates.
I've heard of Post-its. I've heard of PO. So like in postables, the PO is always capitalized, that's nice, but I don't know what it means. I don't understand.
Set us straight, please.
It would make more sense if it was like postageables.
Sure.
That's terrible. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I only had two other ones. When she's like, oh my gosh, we'll call it the postables. Uh-huh. Norman gets very excited and Oliver gives a look like it's maybe the worst name he's ever heard. He's like, everybody's excited. And he's like, yeah, I think we can do better than this. I think we can do better, but he doesn't say it. He just kind of stays quiet. Yep. But in the courtroom where they're seeing if they're going to let this guy go early, neither lawyer, the commitment to never lawyering and where anyone can hear you is impressive. The judge comes in and says, mate, can you approach the bench? They both approach the bench. Comes back, the lawyer looks, and then like, is it Rita? One of the characters gives them all this legal advice.
Rita does.
It's like, hey, in this, there's precedent in this in 1989. And the lawyer should at that point turn around and go, your honor, there's precedent here. And instead he's like, I need to approach the bench. They're going to do this whole case just with the judge and for nobody else to hear. They just keep going up there. Like, is there something where we just couldn't have them actually be lawyers? Is there a reason they couldn't like, you know, give statements like lawyers would do? It just seemed very unconventional. And then lastly, I do want to point out that the reason this guy who is a monster is in jail, he's a monster of epic proportions. But the reason he's going to cut this conversation short about giving his biological daughter a kidney, the reason he's got to cut it short is because it's pizza day. It's pizza day.
Yeah.
That's why. It's not because he's had enough. Not because he doesn't care. Not because he's a monster. It's because the jail has pizza day once a week and he's not going to miss it.
No one knows how in pizza important.
It's in pizza important.
Yeah.
It's in pizza important.
Boy. So somebody is saying in the chat that it's like when you're shipping two names in a relationship. Postable.
I don't understand. What's the able?
What's in a bowl?
It doesn't mean anything.
I need an example of naming. I just don't get it. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
I'll say this really, really softly, but maybe it's a bad name.
I don't know if it is. Maybe I just, everyone else seems to love it and get it. I don't. And I'm sorry.
Somebody said, well, I don't know what a double decker is. So it's so easy, Shannon. It's easy.
So double decker is a
Alonzo
bus.
Duraldi came up with this. Yeah. The fans of Deck the Hallmark were deckers.
Yeah.
And the people that actually contributed to Bramble Jam Plus, double deckers.
Because they're double the fan, and it works because of the bus.
That's right. There's a double decker bus.
Because it's a thing. A postable's not a thing.
But I will say it's more than fair that you didn't know what that was.
Yeah, that's fair.
But a postable, I've not yet had it explained to me in 4 years.
Lisa says I'm definitely overthinking it. I mean, it's possible.
It's fair.
It's possible. I just like things to make sense. That's all I'm saying. And if we're going to make a hashtag, I just want it to make sense.
Hashtag postables.
Hashtag postables.
Hashtag what's rocking your foot?
Guys, is it time for the postal worker of the week?
Yeah, I think it is.
Gosh. This is so exciting. Who do we got today, Dan?
We've got Dizzy Jams. And that's his real name, Dizzy Jams?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, Trace, Dizzy James.
Yes.
And Boise, Idaho, from what I understand. So postal service number 65,000.
Sheesh.
65,000 Dizzy James is who we have.
Yeah.
Panda, what do you know about Dizzy James?
Based off of just a little bit of what I've looked up, he enjoys tracking things. But specifically, he enjoys tracking not just packages for people, which is good because, you know, that's his job, official tracker. But he enjoys tracking yachts, and specifically Disney yachts.
Okay.
He enjoys. So when you say he enjoys, it sounds like it's more of a like a hobby, but not a productive one.
Well, the way he's kind of taken it to the next level. What he enjoys doing is he enjoys actually going out and looking for it. He tracks it.
He goes out on the high seas to look for Disney yachts.
Yeah.
What does he do while he's a?
How does this apply to his work?
Well, because normally he's the official package tracker.
The thing about, and I don't know if you know this, but the thing about the post office is they give every package a tracking number. They don't have someone that just sits at a desk and tracks the packages are all being tracked by the numbers.
They scan them in.
That's how they track
it. Right, sure. But I don't think you understand.
Maybe I don't.
The way Dizzy relayed it to me was that there's one big monitor that tracks all mail all the time, and he's watching it all.
And he just can take it in? Is he like a savant?
He might be, with a name like okay. Dizzy.
So Dizzy tracks all day, and then he gets off work and he tracks all night.
Tracks some more.
So what does it mean he tracks the boats?
He takes his little speedboat out. And then he just, he starts sniffing around and he finds it.
What do you mean he sniffs around?
Does he know like a general vicinity of where it's going to be? Or he just goes out cold turkey?
Cold turkey every time.
Unbelievable.
How often is he finding the boats?
So far he hasn't. Yeah, I really appreciate his willingness.
I think we all do.
Yeah.
We did, everybody. Congratulations. We're going to be back next week with another exciting week of podcasting.
Yeah.
But until then, maybe we're the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.